This morning we're looking at 1 John 1, 5 to 7. We're going to start by walking through a few bits of scripture with you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness hovered over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And this is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. When the Lord led me to think about these few bits of scripture and to tie them together, the first thought I had was, well, there's a sermon. I could just pray and we could all go home. Sometimes it is best for us to let scripture speak for itself. Or more specifically, to let God illuminate scripture for us in our reading of it, and that we simply leave it at that. Sometimes we don't need to beat it to death with our feeble attempts to explain it better than it already explains itself. But let's examine this short passage of 1 John 1, 5 to 7 together. And let's pray this morning that the Lord will grant us his light, his illumination on this passage. The author of 1 John likes opposites. We'll see it as we go through this study of the book of 1 John. But the author of 1 John has opposites all over the place. There's light and there's darkness. There's truth and falsehood. There's righteousness and unrighteousness. There's love and hate. And they go back and forth, and the author often says one and then says the other and plays the two off of each other. It's interesting, I think, how we think about opposites sometimes. Two things that are on the opposite poles to one another. Some people tend to think of things as black or white, 100% this or 100% that. Other people tend to think of things as something more of a spectrum. It's more in the middle, there are some grays and these kinds of things. I think sometimes we think about opposites wrongly. We tend to see opposites as having a false balance, as if there's always a 50-50 in every set of opposites. The passage I quoted earlier from John's Gospel is a perfect example of this. The Word of life, the light for all people, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light is better than darkness. I think we do a similar thing sometimes when we think about God, and we think about something like a seesaw, where God is on one side of this seesaw and Satan's on the other. And the two are pretty much equal powers, and they're vying for control over the world, over our lives. And we think of them as equals, but they're not. God is much greater than Satan. They are not equal adversaries. God is greater. But no matter how you tend to see the world, 1 John 1, 5 to 7 gives us a very simple, clear message. It's what I'd like to call a heavenly truth. What I mean by that is, it's a truth that applies for all time, for all peoples. That also means that sometimes it's a truth that is difficult for us to grasp in our everyday lives. It means that sometimes from our earthly perspective, We can't see it quite as true, but that doesn't make it any less true. God is light. And in God there is no darkness at all. I want us to see this morning from this passage that God is the source of three different things. First of all, He is the source of light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. This light is an essential part of God's character. It's evidenced by God's actions from the start of creation all the way through Old Testament and New Testament. Abraham, the chosen one in Genesis chapter 12, and on from Abraham, the people of Israel were meant to be a light to the nations, a reflection of God's character. It's an essential part of who God is. Now, particularly in this passage, this play on light and darkness is speaking about moral light and darkness. It's not just physical light, even though our God is the God of physical light. Genesis 1, He says, "Let there be light." And that's, I think, an important reminder, just as we remember the physicality this morning of food and of water and the things that sustain us that God provides. God is the God of physical light. But this is a moral light and a moral darkness. Especially as we move on to verse 6 and we see that it's about walking in either light or darkness. That's how we live our lives. So we'll see from verse 6 that God is also the source of truth. He's the source of light and He's the source of truth. If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. That word walking, again, one that the author of 1 John likes very much. He likes this metaphor of we live life as a walk, as going down a path. And the way that we live our lives is the way that we walk. And so John is encouraging us, don't live your life in moral darkness. Live it in the light. I think verse 6 gives us a good illustration of something we think sometimes. We think, me and God, we're good. And we say that, and I think we mostly mean, on balance, my moral good, it outweighs my moral bad. I do more good things than I do bad things. So me and God, we're good. But this verse seems to tell us that the fact that we're walking in any darkness at all, that we've still got moral bad, moral darkness in our lives, means that we're living a lie. I think we lie to ourselves. 1 John just tells us that we lie, but I think we lie to ourselves. We often think to ourselves, yeah, me and God, we're good because of this balance, because I'm doing more good things than I am bad things. That'll probably make me all right with God. And we lie to ourselves. We lie to the people around us. We can deceive the people around us just as easily as we can deceive ourselves and put on a picture of moral goodness when we know very well there is moral darkness still in our lives. And because of that, when there is that moral darkness still in our lives, we are not living by the truth. We're not walking in the truth. And God is the source of that truth, as God is the source of all truth. Light and truth go hand in hand. When God illuminates His Scripture for us, it brings about truth in our lives. We see the truth in it. St. Augustine is famous for saying, wherever truth may be found, it belongs to God. We pursue the light, the moral light. We pursue the truth. And where we find it, we can be confident that its source is our Heavenly Father. So God is the source of light. God is the source of truth. And finally, in verse 7, we see that God is the source of cleansing. The result of walking or living in the light and pursuing the truth is fellowship on the one hand and cleansing or purification on the other. But if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. But this verse says it's the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. So how is God the source of this cleansing? I think there are two answers to that. First, the passage tells us that Jesus is God's Son, and therefore is sent by God and comes from God. Secondly, and I think more importantly, Jesus is God. And we can see that from a couple of the passages I quoted earlier. John chapter 1, John chapter 8. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Apostle John's going to spend 20-some-odd chapters explaining to us that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. And then we see Jesus making the claim himself in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is God. And so we can see God as the source of light, the source of truth, and the source of cleansing. So finally, seeing those things, we can see that we have a good God. A God who is a giver of good things. James tells us, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I don't know where you're at this morning, if it's been a good week or a bad week, if things have been difficult this week, you've had things thrown at you that you weren't expecting. Have confidence in, have a reminder that God is good. God is the source of light and wants to bring that light into our lives. From John chapter 8, if we will follow him, if we will follow God, if we will follow his Son Jesus, then we will not walk in darkness, but instead we'll have the light of life. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that you are light and that in you there is no darkness. That we don't have to see these two things as equal powers in our lives, but that we can have confidence that your light is greater, that your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. We pray that you will help us to continue to pursue that light, that way of life, pursue your truth, to follow you and so have life. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.